We have the honor of having with us on the phone from Washington, HaGaon Reb Aaron Lapiansky. He's Rosh Yeshiva of Greater Washington. He was the son-in-law of the late Mir Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbeinu Schfinkel. He's a Talmud of Reb Nachum, Talmud of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. He was a Rebbe for many years in Eish HaTorah as well as the Mir. He's written over 20 Sfarim, including Orchas Chaim, which is basically, I'm going to paraphrase it, life after yeshiva. How do you remain a Ben Torah forever? It's an honor to have you with us, Reb Aaron.
Thank you, Reb David.
Reb Aaron, so in the real life, in the not art scroll, hagiography life of of a Ben Torah, there's really only a limited amount of time.
Right.
So talk to us as somebody who wrote what the Novominska Rebbe called the modern-day Misils Yesharim for B'nai Torah, certainly those who want to take it post-yeshiva, and a limited amount of time, how do we juggle family time, children, our obligations to wife, which we accept in the Ksuba, Afilim Iglimid El Katfoy, our obligations to children, and yet our obligations to learning, and there's so much to learn. How do we make an order? It's like these three things would be a full-time job, assuming we didn't have a job. How do we do that?
So if I knew the answer to that, then we would solve Kaisel's problems. So best we can do is we can sort of struggle. And like I said before, I hope the safer is ma'orer people to think, and I hope, Berov Yartzim Toshia, that there will be many good ideas and so on and so forth. But as far as the learning part went, I think the musig of turning learning into kvias is very important. In other words, when you're in yeshiva, you learn all the time except when you're doing something else. A good bach is sitting and learning basically, unless there's a reason not to. But so the musig of being koveh, yes, there's sidrei yeshiva, but by and large, he's hopefully learning more, and if he comes late in the morning, he stays way late at night. The idea of having set time is not as important. But once you leave that framework, you can't take that psychology with you, that mentality with you. There's a younger man. We used to have a vad in yeshiva. We were younger light in yeshiva. We had four or five of us. And someone before Ben Azmani made the following observation. There are plenty of young light who before Pesach are so busy, they don't have time to open up a sefer at all. But there's not a single young man who doesn't daven three times a day. And he said he feels it's because davening has become part of kvias. And just like no matter how busy you are, you daven shachas, it might be quicker, it might be bumpier, but you're doing it. Learning needs to have the sense of kvias also. I once said pshat, I think it's the pashto pshat, it's the emes, it says kavati itim latorah. So in Yom HaDin, they should be looking for tachlis, not for etzes. We come to Shemayim, they should weigh how many hours did we learn, under what circumstances, what did we accomplish. Kavatitim is a nice eitza, how to get to it. But why is it that the Yom HaDin, we measure kavata instead of actual learning? And I think the pshat is something, let's say a person plays a lot of golf, and you make a lucky and he played a lot more golf in his life than he did work in the office. But you don't call him a golf player because the office he went to, no matter what, when he had to go, he went. Golfing was when he had time. So lahavdil, learning, if it's in the mode of when I have time, I learn a lot. So learning stops becoming or it never started becoming who we are. So I think the first thing is, as much as we kind of make fun of it, kvius is an extremely important element to make it on the same. It's as uncompromisable as davening is, as Netzel Yadayim is, etc.
So does it have to be every day, Reb Aaron, or no? Kavati itim l'toira could be once a week, could be twice a week. What would you say?
So that's kafiyashu adam. In other words, the amount of kviyas you're going to have will determine your general tzura. But kviyas is the first point that has to start with. I would suggest, you know, if every day a person has some kviyas, even a quarter of an hour, it's ein adoma, a person that has a kviyas once a week, to every day, even if it's a quarter of an hour, if he's so harried in business and so on. The second thing I think is, and this is what I try to write the Sefer, we need to move from an olam habadika mode of learning, which is tzadikim yoshevim v'nenin miziv hashchina, you sit in yeshiva and you have all the time in the world to sort of luxuriate in what you're learning in the sugya. The idea of accomplishment and achievement takes a back seat. As somehow we even feel that, you know, the institutions that have degrees and tests and courses and semesters are colleges, not yeshivas. But once you are part of a world where tachlis is a real part of it, if learning doesn't have set goals, then you're going to run into, you're run out of steam. What drove you in a yeshiva, the idea of just enjoying the svara and the sugya and the ligging and learning, once you're out there, achievement, accomplishment is very important. So having clear goals, like which prokemiglin, which mesechta, which set of halachas, whatever it is, you have to define your goal, and you have to have real achievements, which I mean, if you learn a perek mishnayis is great, do you know it? I'm not talking about taking a pin test, but can you sit down and take a test and get an 80 on the material you learned at the end of let's say, a winter or summer? Do you feel afterwards you know more than you did before? Those, I think, are critical ingredients, because just like you can't run a business without measuring quarterly and yearly profit margin, you can run a non-profit that way and make much, much non-profit, but you can't run a business that way. Once you're in that mode, learning needs to have clear goals. And maybe one more thing, when you make the transition, bear in mind you will have to readjust. Don't take on something and then you failed at it, so you feel a failure once, twice. It'll take you a tkuf of time to find out realistic goals, realistic kviyas, and things of that nature. Those are points I feel are very important in that new framework for learning.
Can I ask you about a point that I think is sort of an auxiliary to this?
Yes.
I think that many people, when they leave yeshiva, struggle to learn because they don't have a geshmak in it.
Right.
So the question is, how would you, you know, a guy comes home, he's worked all day, should he learn now chalitza psula?
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, oilav keitz hamizbeach, if he learned in brisk and wants to learn kachim. And a person sits down and they stare at the Gemara and it's just not happening. Could you give us some advice to the people who are searching for some place in learning that they will have a geshmak? You know, first of all, is it correct and how do they go about it?
Well, having a geshmak is vital because if you won't, it's more that. It's not only a problem with whether you will do it or not, but if you don't have a sense about what you learned that was satisfying, it's going to be very difficult to keep doing it. The truth is, even in the transition to kolel, from yeshiva to kolel, you see a rapid change. You see many people who sat on chalitza psula as a yeshiva bacha and enjoyed it and felt good about it are now learning erevin and chulin and nida and so on, because there's something about the change in person. When you get older, you mature, you want to have more. Halacha does tend to become the dominant learning. But what I would suggest for a person who enjoys Iyun, there are many less complex, I wouldn't say easy, mashal orachaim in Yanim, where you take in Yanim and you learn through, you can learn it to some depth. It becomes a very, very meaningful because you're going to be doing it. So it has the advantage of both allowing you some insight and yet it's not, I mean, Chlitza Psula is so complex. You need to give it so much time. It's very hard to imagine somebody who's really engaged in a full job being able to even get into it. And besides, when you finish it, you have nobody to share it with. When you're doing an Aruch Chaim D'Kenyan, you can, you know, it's, a lot of it is manageable, and you can get a geshmak in it, and you can share it when you tell a Rav, you know, what you think should be, you know, a ha'ara on what people do. Things of that nature makes it a lot more concrete, I think.
Now, so someone who has a limited time to learn, what should he learn? Should he be learning Chumash, Mishnayos, Gemara, Halacha, Machshava, Musa? Well, how would you advise somebody?
So I wrote in the book, and I think there are certain minimal requirements. You know, everybody must have some Halacha said every day, even if it's 10 minutes. But it can't be that a person doesn't look over Halachas. It's like the Chofetz Chaim says, it's not possible a person would be Shomer Shabbos if he doesn't know Hilchos Shabbos, and what we think we know, we really know. The real issue with that is finding a sefer that's appropriate. I've recommended to many people Chai Adam with Piskei Mishaburas being a sefer that will give you the general idea of the halacha really well. Piskei Mishaburas will bring you up to date on current minhagim. And if there's one place where the Chai Adam pasuk is not like the Mishaburas, then, you know, sitting in Gehenna with the Chayadim is not a terrible problem. So I would suggest that, but a person must have at least 10 minutes a day or something similar to that, a half hour a week, where he learns through constantly halachas so that he refreshes the halachas he did know and learns, at least touches on things that he doesn't know. Musar is, I would take the word Musar out and use the word inspiration. A person needs to have some learning kavua that will inspire him. It could be once a week. It has to be something where a person is generally inspired by it. And that also differs. You know, some people like the more chassidish stuff. Some people like the more sharp musar of the Bala Musar. But at least, I would say once a week, it could be around Shabbos, a person learns something that inspires him. And the main limud is something Torah Shabbat Peh. It could be Mishnayos with the Rav and the Tosfos Yontif. It could be learning Simanim HaShulchan Aruch and learning the background a little bit to turn the Beis Yosef, or Gemara, and at some level, whatever level. That sort of is the meat of Torah.
And what do you feel about Bekiyas or Be'ian? I know we're a year away from the Siyam HaShas Taf Yomi. What do you think of it?
Ideally, Reb Nachum was master Reb Lazy Yudel in the Mir, and he said that the Rosh Hashiva taught us that Bekiyas without Iyun is not Bekiyas, and Iyun without Bekiyas is not Iyun. I once had a Rebbe, Reb Zedeleps in Chayin of Racha. We were Bachim and asking Bekiyas Iyun, so he asked us the following question. You need a carpentry work done in the house. One guy shows up with the wood, but he doesn't have the tools. The other one has tools with no wood. Which one is better? And the answer is neither of the two are going to build the cabinet. Ideally, Iyun is supposed to shape your mind so that you instinctively learn something and look at the core of it. It's supposed to develop a skill. It's not supposed to be auxiliary. So at some point, it's supposed to be learning. I know my father, I was very annoyed. It's like when you learn something and you're a Lamdin, so whatever you're learning, the questions present themselves and the need to answer presents itself and your sense of how much time to spend. You know, those are all part of the experience of learning. So I would think that a person learn at a level where he feels he's learning it. If a person reads something and he feels he doesn't begin to get it, or there's so many problems with it that it's just he's more bewildered than he is enlightened, that's not learning. So technically, he maybe pick up some information. It, for that core learning that I was talking about, the Torah Shabbat Peh, whether it's Mishnayos, whether it's Gemara, whether it's Simanim Shulchan Aruch, a level of comfort where you're able to cover ground, but you still feel that you feel comfortable with the knowledge you're getting.
So the Daf Yomi then for a Ben Taira who learned Pe'iyan is going to be frustrating.
It might be frustrating. It's good, you know, everybody has a dream at least once to learn through Shas in a way that is, you know, at least if I never get around to it, at least I've seen Krisis, at least I've seen Me'ila, at least I'll have seen Yevamos for the person who didn't. You know, learning it, so there's a certain inyan to that where a person at least made a Siyum on Shas. It's good for people. It's also good for somebody who pretty much has learned a lot, and this is a very good way to review it constantly and to get it down. Well, like the Rambam says, you know, once a person has the ideas of Torah, he has to review it and at a pace where he bears it. So it's a davar chashuv. If a person has time to find pieces where, if he has the time, so that in different inyanim he can be ma'ayan. The Fayomis Maila is A, it forces you to keep a certain pace. It gives a tremendous sense of chevra, which is amazing. And hopefully people would have enough pre-knowledge that the Fayomi is part of a package, not just their only connection.
So here's an interesting thing. I learned Daf Yomi a few times, you know, different masechtas,
right.
But I was always frustrated by, you know, it's moving so fast. It's hard to you can't have a debate or a discussion.
Right.
And I saw a story that Albert Einstein came to the United States sometime in the 20s after he won the Nobel Prize. He was, a celebrity,
right.
And in the United States at that time they used to use the Edison method of learning. And it was mostly memorization.
Right.
It was about memorizing tables and, you know, all the symbols for all the different, you know, scientific elements, et cetera, and numbers. And he looked at it and he just said, I don't understand this method of learning. And he took the test and he failed it. And one of the answers he didn't know was, what is the speed of sound? Now, Albert Einstein presumably used the speed of sound. I mean, so they asked him why. And he said, why would I want to memorize anything? I could just pick up a book and see it. Why would I want to fill my head with that?
Right.
And I sort of thought in a way that was the Litvisha Derech HaLimud, in other words, is a famous Rav Shlomo Kluger, where he writes in Chachma Shleiman, Kaflamed Vav, he says, even though it says Sinai V'Iker Harim, the Gemara says Sinai is Adif. If you don't have access to the knowledge, what does it matter if you're a big lamdan? So he writes, Rav Shlomo Kluger writes, he says, that was before the Mefarshim of the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, were printed. Now that they're printed, there's no mile of a Sinai. Use the Naim L'Mishpat. Use the Oitzer HaChachma. What do you need to be a Sinai for? And I thought that, you know, Rav Shlomo Kluger and the story with Einstein, they make me think of, like, what kind of a debate or a discussion are you going to come home with after you, you know, went through Menachos at 60 miles an hour? Like, what do we get out of it? I struggle to understand that. Whereas, take a sugya, learn through it, come home, have a really good, agreement, disagreement, debate by the Shabbos table, have something to debate with your wife, a point with your friends. I don't really understand it. Maybe you could give me some understanding of it.
So let me make 2 points about it. And like everything, it's a complex sugya, but one, I took the Regents, history Regents. You know, I went to high school in New York and took Regents. And my year, the history Regents changed dramatically. Before that, it was all about memorizing dead people and kings and names and battles and when it started, when it ended, when things were. It was basically a memorization of an almanac of sorts. In my year, they introduced an essay, and you had to write about a certain topic and so on. And the pendulum began to swing. And so it started with people memorizing just a telephone book worth of facts, which obviously is not history. It's dry, it's boring, and it's not history, to a situation where we ask somebody about, what do you think about the French Revolution? The person says, I really, really don't like it. Well, why not? Well, that's just where I am. I just don't like these things. And people don't feel they need facts or figures or anything. It's like, you know, people will identify with slogans of politicians and ask, well, what is the course? What's the breakdown? What's the comparison to other things? People don't even want to hear it because they don't even think that facts are relevant. So an intelligent opinion may not need a telephone book of facts, but a certain sense of things. So if a person is clueless about the sugyas of kachim, has no sense of it, he didn't learn a brisk, and he doesn't have any idea in it whatsoever, so he's going to go through life, and all the musagim of pigal and paslus and achshava and everything that's there, totally alien, it's hard to see that the person isn't missing something. Ideally, so you're right, the type of memory where we'd notice sif cottons and be a phone book, so we have the various Googles, Leminehem, the Frum Googles, the DBSs, the Etzach Chochmas, but enough familiarity with something so that you have a bigger sense of things is very, very important. So, I mean, theoretically, a person should have picked it up in yeshiva. If there's a reasonable Seder, you know, in the afternoon or the evening, I don't know what they do it, and people learn it well, they should have picked up enough information. But if not, having a general sense, what are menachas, how they brought, where are they brought, who brings them, what are vedas akasha, what's needed for things of akasha, it just so much is included in that it's hard to imagine a person can not be an amoritz if he doesn't know it.
And we wouldn't get that from learning the Mishnayos. You feel you have to learn it through... Because let's face it, the Daf Yomi is a commitment that often takes most of a person's learning time if he's a working person. So is that going to the other extreme, where now he spends so much time getting a general understanding that he really, when he comes home, doesn't have much to talk about?
Right. So a person needs to ask somebody who knows him and readjust. There may be a tekufa in life when Daf Yomi is very helpful, maybe a tekufa in life when it's not so helpful. It depends also on people. Some people don't enjoy the question answer. They like information that's them. That's why I think it's so, no two people are the same. And Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of different programs today, and they cater to different nekudas. So Daf Yomi as a mega undertaking is an amazing thing. But when each person should take that route and when each person should not, you know, sometimes let's take something very practical. The only thing in town is a Daf Yomi Shir, and if I'm not going to go to Shir, it's going to peter out and have nothing to keep me there. That's a big situation.
What do you say to the following, Rav Aaron? Here's a machlokes that's not commonly discussed, but I think it's a very important one. I know that there are people who are very into Chazara.
Right.
And it's a lapse over a little bit what we just discussed. And I know the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Talmud Torah says that if somebody's shecheach dover echad mishnasai because he didn't chazer it, he's over on a lav of hishamr lecho, shmar nafshecha ma'id, pentishkech hasadvarim. So the chazara, there are people, the chazara fanatics.
Right.
Now, growing up, also learning, I always felt chazara to be mind-numbingly just repetitious. So, but then afterwards, I found a Shitas Rav Chaim V'Lajna, which the Griz discusses a number of times, where he said that there's no more lav. After Torah Shebal Peh was written down, the lav of Pentishkach is not Bizman Hazeh anymore. Fascinating. And everybody talks about the machloikas in between the Nefesh HaChaim and the Tanya and Tzimtzum. This is a fabulous machloikas that's not discussed, that Rav Chaim V'Lajna says, and the way the Griz is Masbrit, he says, it's by Torah Shebal Peh, that's Nimser Midor L'Dor. They didn't want Torah to disappear. You know, the whole Mesira Miyad L'Yad of Torah Shebal Peh, you know, from Rebbe to his Talmud. But he says, after it was written down, the Halacha, the Talmud, and it's the Nifzika, everything, Ishmi, so he says, there's no more Pentishkach. Are you a chassid of the chazara, like, you know, you learn a mesechta, now go chazar mesechta. Go chazar is easy words. That's hundreds of hours of work. How do you, coming from just such a great lineage of Litvisha Godless, what's your opinion on this? What's your kabbalah on this?
I'm a strong proponent for different reasons. You know, I'm not because of the love of forgetting and so on, not the frumkeit part of it. I think most Bachrim, I've been teaching Bachrim all my life, and I've been a Bachrim myself, until they don't go over the Gemara a lot of times, they don't know what they're talking about. A bright kid can hear a lecture, can hear a shir, can learn more once, and he can make points, but he doesn't have his hands on the nitty gritty of it.
That's not Chazara. That's talking about, it takes four times to learn a Gemara until we understand. I'm talking about you finished the Masechta, and now go repeat the Masechta.
So I would say the person needs to be able, so in my mind, the critical Chazara is A1, getting it down. And unfortunately, Bochum today don't understand that until you haven't done it 8-9 times, whether you do it, just sit by a standard 8-9 times, or over the week you're doing it, you don't have it the nitty gritty down. So I would say that's called Chazara, but you're right, that's learning, not Chazara. And also that a person should be able to at least have the general sense of the sugya. The person should be able to say what the basic point a machlokas is, and remember.
But that's learning, Rabban. I'm talking about post. You learn the sugya, you understand the sugya.
Right.
According to the Rav, you should be chazering it constantly so that you're remembering. And my saying is, the Reb Chaim said you don't have to. Briskerov, I mean, many of the Litvishik Dalim said there's no lav anymore. And so now you have a choice. You spoke about learning being inspiring. The least inspiring learning imaginable is Chazara. So you have a choice. You can go repeat, do over again what you did, get the facts, remember all the facts. It's like rereading all the old contracts. Or you can jump into something else that you're going to have a debate about, a discussion about. I gave a share this week here in New York on Haliteu L'Rosh V'Yamos.
Yeah.
Fascinating topic. Like, when are you allowed to be mekil on a? Could you look away from a one issa so that the person shouldn't be over on another issa? Like Abi Kiruv, all the halachas we spoke. We had Rabbi Willig. He said, he says in our mikvah we take everybody except a single girl, and it's a big machlekes in the achrayim. And people were yelling at each other, and everybody was alive, and it was at a trading floor. Everybody was trading before that. Now, just try to replace that with a chazarish here. So my question is, given that inspiration you mentioned is one of the key things of learning, I just wonder when I see Chazara, when I see Daf Yomi, it's true we have to know the ideas, but who's getting inspired by it? What debate and discussion are coming out of it?
Let me give you a marshal back from business world. Not my forte, but at least, nobody gets inspired from the run of the mill, regular 9-to-5 job, make your needs and that's that. People look for the big deal, the big thing. But a person who only does that is setting us up for failure. Yeah, 1 in 1,000 will succeed, but life consists of a lot of day-to-day. You walk into Beis Medrash, and again, as a mechanech I'm talking about, it's wonderful to see that koch on its silence and so forth, but as time goes on and they don't feel they retain something, they don't have a complete picture, pieces in place, and I'm not talking about a memory of down to the pin and down to the, not that extraordinary, but still be able to say, listen, this is the divya sugya, this is the hartzos advarim. If as time goes on, the koch is a momentary excitement, and it so when you compare the moment to the moment, say wow, but when you compare it after a year and 2 years and 3 years, we start having problems. People also learn to be sloppy in things, and that's why. That's what Blaise Yudel's thing was. If a Bucky came to him, he would pay him to say Shtikl Torah. If a Lamdan came to him, he would pay him to, to test him on Sugyas, on Gemaras. The point was, there's a tendency in both directions. Either it becomes a minor Mechazor, people just argue which word says on what page, which makes for great stories, but it gives no geschmack to most normal people, and it's hard to find a justification for it. But the other side is, where people, they get into the argument, they argue back and forth, they feel really good about it, and as time goes on, they feel they have nothing. And it's one of the problems that have come about in the other direction. So you can sit on a blat and spend a zman on a blat, coming up with all sorts of gewaltic machlokes achronim, and kids get excited. At the end, as man goes by, nazman year, and so if a person feels he's been 10 years in the workforce learning, and he has down in yonim that he knows the structure and he has an overall sense of it, he may not remember it as if God, but he can. The information is not raw to him. Then I think it's fine. That's good. But unfortunately, it becomes a lot of times, the tendency is you replace methodical, structured learning with momentary excitement. It happens in yeshivas, and it happens certainly outside. So I'm wary, very wary of that.
So, Rabbanan, you're saying moderation. You're saying moderation is the. You're preaching moderation. You're saying learn Bekiyas, learn Daf Yadaf, and also at the same time find something that you could dig into. Am I taking away the right message?
Yes. And to me, the understanding from the human need, what is the psychology of a person that will keep him going? So it's accomplishment and a thrill. Those are two things, and just like in business, the person who's stuck for the rest of his life licking stamps when they used to do that is going to become less and less of a worker, and is going to drink more and more because there's no hope. The person who's always looking for $1 million deals and he turns down $1,000 is going to end up either in jail or broke. You really want to say to yourself, what does a person need emotionally, and fit it to him, and people are different. And Be'ez Hashem, when it clicks with a person's real internal aptitude and needs, you possibly have a formula that could last.
So, Rabbanan, I want to ask you, I'm a balabas, I come to you, and I say, Rabbi Lapiansky, I learned in yeshiva this and that. I have a half an hour a day to learn. I work very hard. What would you say? What would you tell me?
It would depend on your background.
I went to yeshiva. I went to a good yeshiva.
I would definitely tell them to listen to headlines once a week. That would be definitely.
Okay. But what would you tell me? I'm a balabas. I went to the Mir, Chaim Berlin, Lakewood, whatever, all the good yeshivas. They're all wonderful. And I say, I got a job. I'm an accountant. I have a house full of kids. I just am maxed out. I could do a half an hour a day. Yeshiva, tell me, what should I learn?
So, like I said before, I would pick some study halacha to do, something.
Like what? Give me baruch b'tzaktana. What should I learn?
I happen to like Chai Adam.
Okay, we should learn Chai Adam. Okay. I just start from the beginning. Start Chai Adam from. Yeah. Okay. Siman Aleph. Yeah.
Right. It's not a phenomenally big sefer, but. I would also use, by the way...
You know the story, the Chai Adam, Rabban, you know why he called it Chai Adam?
Yeah, it shouldn't be Kitzah, yeah.
He's saying it's a small cipher. Okay, see. Yeah, say you should learn some Chai Adam, and what else? That's 15 minutes. What do I do with the rest of my...
I would say once a week to find a sefer that inspires him, a Musa sefer, something on the Tzedge and so on.
Like what? Give me some names.
It runs the gamut. Some people like... Misal Tisharim, some people like Sfas Emes. Some people like the Musa Shmuzin of Reb Chaim. It doesn't make a difference.
The Sichas Musa, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is that...
Okay, he should take a half an hour, 1.5 hours, he should learn something like that. What else?
And then I would say for the main learning, let's pick in Yanim, let's say in Orach Chaim, that you can... learn and be Mayan a little bit. So you take a simon, Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. You learn a little bit about the Shoshim of Kriyas HaTorah, the main points, the sugis, this. When you finish, you're able to sum it up on a sheet of paper so that you have a feeling, I learned through it. At what level? The Gemara with Taisvis and the Ran, and the Machaba and the Ramah. That's fine. But I know something. I have something I know. And there's many inyanim like that a person can do. There's inyanim ochay, and there's some inyanim yerdeya, kind of.
And you're right. And each one of these, I'll tell you, in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, fascinating shaila. I was aimed on. The Balkaira sits. The Jews are against hunting.
Yeah.
Very few Jews have a gun in their house. I don't know any Jewish hunters. There's one time when all Jews become hunters. When is that? It's Shul on Shabbos when there's a Balkaira. the Balkaira lanes, and oh, I'm about faltam if the cup. Forget about it if it's a mitzvah bacha. So the shaila is, and the Torah is aimed on this. There's a kriyas atayra is not a daraisa. It's divrei seifrim, whatever. It's a drabanan, right? The Ezra tikkun, being mevaza a person barabim, is an issa daraisa. It's a shaila. It's yarek val yaver according to Tyson Saita and right. So
right.
How are you mevaza a person barabim? And I don't care, you know. Yes, maybe you have someplace a stoic Balkaira who cares nothing. Your average human being who screamed at, bothers them, right? Who's yelled at? Why don't you say, listen, the Kriyas HaTorah is a drabban, and embarrassing a person barabim is a deraisa. Kal v'chaim ben b'nei shkal v'chaim if it's a sensitive by mitzvah. So just be quiet and let him go on. You talk about how in every sugya in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah how you could find current, relatable millennial debates.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, listen, halachas intersect. All halachas intersect. There's no one siman shacharach. It's always correct.
So you would learn chayadim with piskei b'mishnah berurah. Once a week, you'd learn Masil Shishar, Masasemah, Sasichas Musav, Rav Chaim, Sana Seifa, like that, or whatever you inspires you. And for your main limud, you would say, take a siman in a Rav Chaim, learn it with Torah Beis Yosef, and try to understand it and debate it.
Right. So. And the main thing is a person should every so often sit down and make a cheshbon nefesh. Can I do more? Is this going? Am I trapped in something that's not going? Those are all things that, it's such a, there are so many different people and so many different possibilities that, today we know medically, it used to be a doctor gave a prescription of Shalma Yisrael. Today they understand that each person is different and they keep on reevaluating. Is this doing the job? Is this too strong, too quick? And this also, a person shouldn't just kind of just make a decision and stay with it. It'll take time till you figure out. And the tkufas of life, you have sometimes more harried schedule, sometimes less harried schedule. And hopefully people will develop more and more mischem.
And what do you say to the person who says, I have no time. If I take away time from learn, if I learn, I'm taking the moments I have from my wife and children. How would you respond to that?
I would say the quality of the person that will be there for his wife, if his wife and children, is different. Nobody said that about davening, and the answer is, if a person would understand that if his tzura is not ruchni, then what his wife and children are getting is not a tzura of a real father, then it's something that is going to take its toll in terms of how's he bringing up his kids. If kids never see a father learning, if kids don't get that at all, where will they go with it? Is the person works 14 hours a day and the only thing he does is spend time with his wife and kids? Or there's other time, kind of downtime, that he could shave off 5-10 minutes. It's Baruch Hashem today, it's hard to picture somebody who is working such long. Everyone's tired, everyone works hard. But if a person is so involved in business because he has tremendous deals going on, he has no time, he needs to ask himself, is this a priority? Is this what I should do? If somebody's an onion, everyone working so hard, it's hard to imagine Echet Timtza. Everyone is short on time. I know that. And everyone is tired. I know that. But to say that a person can't take some time out, and it will change him if a person is learning and he's pushing himself to learn, I believe he will be a gentler, more noble-spirited husband. I think the kids will see in him a person who has a chashivas himself that he can look up to. I definitely believe that in quality-wise, it'll add a lot to his role as a husband and a father.
Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, Rabbi David, very nice speaking with you again. Kol tov.
Kol tov. Bye-bye.